Here we go once again, episode number 7. Look at us rolling. Good reaction from the people, I gotta say. I get a lot of good feedback.
Yeah, me as well.
Kind of got not discovered, but what's the word? Where you get noticed?
Yeah.
Somebody.
You're that guy.
I got recognized. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it was at that big work party, like I told you, and a person you know, Oak's brother, came up to me and was like, "Hey, is your name Leon?" Yeah. He goes, "You do a podcast?" And it's like, it's the closest I've ever gotten to being recognized, so yeah. I'm gonna let it roll. Anyways, you're listening to Music, Myths, and Cannabis. My name is Leon. This is my good buddy Daryl.
How you doing today?
Doing awesome. Glad to be home. I can't wait for the long weekend.
Yes, it's upon us.
Actually, by the time this plays, the weekend will be past, but yeah. Maybe on the next episode, I'll tell everybody what I did on that long weekend. Okay, so we were talking about 1983 last episode, and we decided we're going to do 1984 this episode, because 83 and 84 were huge years in music. It's actually, that little area is called the Blockbuster, 83 and 84, I don't forget which one, but anyways, one of them is actually known as the Blockbuster year for albums in general. A lot of big, huge albums came out that year. And we're going to check out a strain called, what was it called? Peyton's Pie, from a band, from a dispensary called Next Level. A friend of mine, Luke, he's going to be on the show here in one of these days. He turned me on to it. I haven't tried it yet, but we were going to give it a check out, and I will read a review.
Smells very good.
Yeah, not too bad. It says it's got a THC level of 26.8, which is not too bad. Nothing like the Mike Tyson, though. Which we tried on the last episode, and if you have listened to many of our episodes, you now recognize we do 2 episodes back to back, so we are usually quite buzzed by the second one.
Yeah, the Mike Tyson was good.
But the Mike Tyson was good. I got a nice buzz, not like fucked up. Don't need to lay on the couch. I'm not looking for any food. So, anyways, 1984. What made your interest in 84?
84. It's probably into like Twisted Sister, Stay Hungry, probably, for sure.
Yeah, they were a weird band when they came out. I didn't know.
Probably thanks to that. Remember the show Video Hits? It used to be like a half an hour. All they played was videos now.
No, I don't remember.
That's where I started. I found a lot of stuff on there.
So it was like a
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was like a Canadian show, half an hour, I don't know, after school, 4 o'clock or something.
I've probably seen it. I'm sure I watched anything that had music videos, but I actually don't remember that one.
Yeah, that was big for me. What else? Iron Maiden, Power Slave was huge. Van Halen, 1984.
Was that Iron Maiden's first one?
No, definitely not. Their first one was like 81.
What was it? What was that one with Run to the Hills and all that? What's the name of that one?
Number of the Beast.
Right, right.
Yeah, 82.
I've made a point before. I never was a huge Iron Maiden fan, but I did listen to that album, Number of the Beast. That was actually a pretty good album.
Yeah, that's what I was. Like I said, 83 got me into the metal, so I was into all that kind of stuff now. Maiden, Twisted Sister, Rat, Van Halen, Priest. Mm-hmm.
84 was a busy freaking year. They came up with the MTV Music Awards.
Yeah, it said that the sales for music in general boomed like in 84.
Mm-hmm. Well, after disco had huge sales, and then it kind of faded away. And if you look at, if you could actually see the sales, you'll see the drop, and then 83 started to come up a bit, and then 84, bam, sales. People were just buying records like crazy.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of...
when did cassettes come out anyway?
Cassettes. I don't know.
Probably around then too. Must have been 80s, right? Because I don't remember 70s having cassettes.
I would say late 70s, mid to late 70s myself. Remember the 8-tracks?
Yes, had lots of them.
Fuck. I couldn't believe how they would actually have something recorded and right in the middle. It could be the song you
skip
bought.
The next program.
It could be the same song you bought the hit off of the album, right in the middle of the song. Yeah. Clunk, clunk.
And it would fade in fade back.
It was horrible. Even as a kid, I thought, this is just stupid.
Yeah, I remember being in my dad's car and one of them got stuck, and there's so much tape inside that thing.
Every once in a while I see somebody buying a box and it's like, look, you know, a picture of it. It's like, look.
Yeah, some of them are worth quite a bit of money.
Some things that are worth money I just don't get to, though.
One man's garbage, right?
Yeah, right. Prince, Purple Rain.
Yeah, that was a big one.
That year, that was a huge one. He was the first guy to have a hit album, a hit song, and a hit movie.
Really?
At the same time.
He's tiny, eh?
Oh, he's tiny. Tiny little fucker. He was also Jehovah's Witness.
Really? I did not know that. What else we have? Like Madonna, Like a Virgin.
Yeah, that was...
Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA.
And Band-Aid was that same year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Do you remember the song?
I do. I can't think of the name of it.
What was the other... What was the other thing? It was the Band-Aid, and then there was... that other group of musicians got together.
There was Hearing Aid, but that was 85. That was more of the metal kind of guys.
And then there was Farm Aid.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to bug me now. But this is what happens every time we get together. Yeah.
Think about something else.
Yeah, it sprouts me off out there. What the hell was that? The name of that thing? The Farm Aid, not Farm Aid, what did I just say? It was Band-Aid.
Yep.
Phil Collins, Sting, who else was in there?
Got it.
Boy George.
Yeah.
George Michael, Bono, and Bob Geldof got that together.
Oh, really? Okay.
Was that the year that the drummer for Def Leppard lost his arm?
It was, yeah, in a car crash.
Yeah, I remember that. I'm so surprised to see him come back. You know,
yeah.
One arm guy, and he still rocked it.
Yeah, it wasn't until like 87 that they actually put another album out.
They took about 3 or 4 years off, did they?
And then there was also Vince Neil from Motley Crue got in his car accident and killed Razzle from Hanaway Rocks.
Yeah, I remember that one.
You know, he got like 30 days in jail.
Yeah, bullshit, eh?
A few fines here and there.
Nothing.
Yeah.
That was bullshit. I'm sure the other guy's family wasn't too happy about
that.
Yeah,
he was only like 21.
Number one album that year. Do you know that one?
Number one album? No, I don't.
Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA.
Yeah. Never was a big fan of that.
Oh, same year that Marvin Gaye's dad shot him in the chest.
Oh, really?
You know that story?
I do. I've heard of it, but I don't know it well.
Just his dad was kind of, he was out there like dementia or whatever the story is. And him and his mom were fighting. And Marvin came down to kind of, I don't know why he was there. He's pretty good at the time. Maybe visiting, I don't know. And he came down to, got into the middle of it, and the dad ended up shooting him.
No, really?
Which is crazy. He was just busting out that time, too.
Huh.
That's fucking nuts.
Then we had Green River, one of the first grunge bands to form in 84 with members of Mudhoney.
And that's a Seattle thing, I'm sure?
Yeah, members of Mudhoney. Eventually had members of Pearl Jam in them.
Mm-hmm. What was it? Mother Love Bone, that was the one I was thinking. Not that they, I'm not saying they sound the same or anything like that, but just that different name for some reason. I always get those two.
Yeah.
Metallica, Ride the Lightning.
Amazing album, yeah. Like that one.
I don't know if it came out in 84.
It did, yeah.
Did it? Okay. Madonna, you mentioned. Tina Turner, Private Dancer. That was another big one for that year. That was really strange. She busted away from Ike Turner. He used to beat her constantly.
Yeah.
And she broke away from him, and it was just kind of cool to see this abused woman surpass the success of her abuser.
Yes, exactly.
I thought it was cool anyway.
The one she did with Bryan Adams was huge, whatever that was. If you remember that one. Like a duet they did.
Vaguely. I can't think of it right now, but if it was playing and I didn't see it, I could totally go, oh, that's, you know, name that tune, I'd know it. And remember, I was telling you, Mark Knopfler wrote that Private Dancer song.
Oh, really?
And of course, 1984, Van Halen album.
Yeah.
That was a huge album for me.
Yeah, it was a big album.
Almost went to see them, but just couldn't get the cash together. I was going to go see them. I think it was, if they were playing in Edmonton? I don't know, but anyways, there was
I've never seen them with Roth. I've seen Roth solo, and I've seen Van Halen, but not them together.
What year did you see Roth, I mean?
When did I see Roth? I seen Roth on a Skyscraper tour, so that would have been like 88.
Oh, I know
and
that album.
And then again in 95, maybe, somewhere's in there.
I always liked David Lee Roth.
He was always good live.
Great fucking front man, for one. I know he's kind of quirky and goofy, but the Van Halen brothers, they fucking hated everybody.
Yeah.
So you can't even...
I like the Sammy years too for Van Halen. It was different, but I do like it. I saw them live. It was good twice.
They got a couple songs. I mean, out of the fucking 17 albums or whatever they put together, I could probably come up with an hour of songs that, from the Sammy Hagar years that I liked. I didn't listen to Sammy even on his own before that. Did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
There was something kind of hokey about him.
I think the Van Halen sales with Sammy are much more than the Ross sales, like the radio hits and stuff, right?
You could be right, but what happens there is you got things that hit the radio and are radio friendly, and then you got that mass of people that buy it and like it and shit, but that's not necessarily the Van Halen, you know, the Van Halen, my Van Halen is David Lee Ross.
Yeah, exactly. It always will be, for sure.
Yeah, and it's not just because it came out and that's...
Would it have done as well under another name? Probably not. Like, if they had to change the name,
totally,
to whatever.
Agree. No, if they came out, if they gathered Sammy Hagar and they called it like Van Hagar or something.
Yes, there was rumors of that. I remember when they were first getting together.
That they were going to change the name?
Yeah, it was probably just the media saying that, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that would have been a bad choice.
Yes, definitely.
So it obviously
the bad choice was the third singer, the singer from Extreme.
Yeah, that was...
I do like Extreme and I like him, but
that was a bad album.
Yeah. And to call it Van Halen 3, I guess it was the third singer, so...
And then that's when they started bringing back David, and then David's an asshole, and then let's have Sammy and David on tour, but we're going to have one. They'd flip a coin, and they had both singers, and whatever night they flipped that coin started that off. They didn't know who was going to sing first, and then the next night it would be the other guy. So one night, first night it was David Lee Roth, next night Sammy, and they just mix it up day to day after
that. But that was just on their solo. That wasn't Van Halen.
What do you mean?
That was when they both did solo tours together. Like Sammy solo and Roth solo. They toured together. And Roth would open one night, Sammy would open another.
But didn't Van Halen do a tour and have both singers? And
they may, not that I know of.
That's what I
mean. Maybe.
Okay.
You could be right.
More research needs to be done.
I know there definitely was a Sammy and Dave tour. But it was not Van Halen. It was solo. They were doing Van Halen songs.
I definitely have to look into that. And Van Halen, they've been such assholes to their other band members. Like like Michael, what's his name?
Anthony.
Michael Anthony is... I don't even think to this day he's on the website anymore.
No,
like,
probably not.
He fucking, they just took him right out. You're gone. Didn't even exist in the band. Like, fuck, there for what, 30 years or something? And they just...
And without his background vocals, like, it's not even Van Halen.
No, he was a great singer, like, harmonizing with whoever.
Yeah.
He was a big piece of it.
I see Wolfgang, Eddie's son, is opening for Metallica.
He's not a horrible guitar player, but if your dad is an awesome anything, like if my dad was some kind of... Like,
I've never actually listened to it. I guess it's Mammoth, I think he's called it, which was Van Halen's original name.
Yeah, that sounds about right. He's not horrible, but... And I understand why he's floating off the name, and he seems like a nice enough guy.
I
heard him on a certain radio talk show host.
Would that be Howard Stern, by the way?
Holy shit, I can't believe you picked up that. That was it. It was. Yeah, I heard him talking shortly after his dad died. He was pretty broken up about it. His dad actually gave him, had a guitar. It might have been Frankenstein. You know that guitar.
And you know who was buried with Eddie's guitar?
Who?
Dime.
Oh, nice. Dimebag Darrell.
I believe the guitar that's on Van Halen 2's inside credits or something.
No, I did not know that. That's pretty interesting.
And he was buried in a Kiss casket.
That I knew.
Yeah.
And that I kind of expected. I wonder if he had that, bought that already, or if...
Yeah, I don't know. You know, speaking of Van Halen, you know the song I'll Wait?
Yeah, I love that
apparently,
song.
Apparently, Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers is the one that wrote like the lyrics and the melody and stuff, because Roth couldn't come up with anything. Even though they didn't credit him on the album. Huh. He sued them like years later and won.
Hmm. That was actually one of my most favorite songs off that album.
Yeah, I guess they didn't even want to put it on. Apparently, like the Ted Templeton or whatever his name is, was not liking that song and didn't want to include it.
I'm sure this doesn't interest you too much, but the 1984 Olympics in LA, the opening act was Etta James, and I, to this day, still listen to her.
Yeah, no, I could listen to that.
And sure. Lionel Richie, he closed with, what's that one, All Night Long?
Yeah.
And I guess apparently it was like a 9-minute version. You know, I could tap my foot for a second to All Night Long, but I don't know about 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Where were you living in 84?
Still in Saskatchewan.
Still in Saskatchewan. That was
just about to move back to Ontario.
Actually, that was the year. That was the year where I was floating. I left Fort McMurray and I was heading to Saskatchewan. Went to Saskatoon. Was there for a while.
Yeah.
Here, let's check out this bud. Okay, so we got Peyton's Pie. Like I said, my buddy Luke gave it to me. Next Level Technologies is the name of the dispensary, or at least the LP that put it in this really cool looking little jar. The breakdown on that one was actually quite impressive. We're talking about, where was the THC level here? Peyton's Pie is the indica dominant hybrid strain, 70% indica, 30% sativa, created through crossing Gary Peyton and Georgia Pie strains. Don't know either one of those.
No, never heard of them.
But that's what they do, right?
Yeah.
Two strains together and then bam, they make up a name out of it. This one's known for its pure pie taste. We're going to see that. That's true. Soothing, cozy effects.
What would pure pie taste be?
I don't know, because I've had burnt pie.
Yeah.
It crosses a little burnt or something. I hope it doesn't taste like that. I do know, one thing I know about without reading this is it's known for being very, very sticky. Says that it's good to smoke at night, good for anxiety, very cozy, happy in nature, soothing effects. Help you settle down and sleep after a long, stressful day or week. You feel lifted and happy, filled with euphoric sense. It leaves you with no room for racy thoughts.
No room for racy thoughts.
Yeah. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, might want to retype that one. Physical relaxation comes with filling your body with warm sense of ease. Average THC level, 25 to 26%, so that's pretty good. That's actually a little bit, what's this one? Yeah, 26.8. So these guys hit the, they got above the average on this. So this is good for chronic fatigue and insomnia, depression, got mood swings, smoke some of this shit. Let's, yeah, give her a, let's give her a fucking thing. It definitely smells good.
I'd like to know where they come up with all this, though. Like all the effects. So they have like a little testing room where they have like a check sheet where
I can't imagine doing that job.
Yeah,
everybody's gonna
feel differently, I think.
Well, there's that, but also after a week, I mean, you run out of words. How do you describe, yeah, it? Oh yeah, definitely get a fruity. I could almost get that that diesel smell out of it. It smells kind of skunky.
Like I said, you can just tell that it's sticky by smelling it, if that makes sense.
Give her a sniff. Lots of crystals. Definitely like the buds, and it is very sticky, which is a fucking positive thing for me.
Grinder or scissors?
If I go with scissors, it might jam up.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Try that grinder. Have you used it much since?
Yeah, I have. Quite a bit. It's got a lot less teeth in it than most grinders I've ever had, but it still does the job. I've never done it with anything gooey like this.
Yeah.
So let's use it. Here's the test. Let's see how it goes.
I got some different ones I should bring. I don't know if I showed you.
Different strains?
No, different grinders.
Oh, different grinders?
Much smaller. Little black ones.
I found my... I got this thing. It's called a Da Vinci. It's a little pocket vaporizer. And I don't mean like a vaporizer. I think it's true vaporizer. Vaporizer will get you... For whoever doesn't know what a vaporizer is, instead of burning the weed, it brings it to an exact temperature that burns the THC or the little trichomes off the bud. And it's just... To me, I love it. They have one... Major expensive one called the Volcano. It's about $700, German made. It's fucking awesome. You ever smoke one of those?
I remember our buddy Andy had one, the Volcano, like way back, really? When. And now I don't know if it was the same as you're talking about, but.
Did it have a great big bag?
It had a big bowl kind of thing on top, plastic lid or something from what I remember.
Did it look like a volcano?
Kind of.
Yeah, that could be it. I didn't realize they made them that long ago, but.
This was probably like mid 2000s or late 90s.
Yeah, it could be. I wasn't introduced to them until, oh man.
I'm sure it's way different than whatever is now.
Yeah, you know what? You could be right, because the first time I got introduced to one, it must have been about 2001,
yeah,
something like that. Well, this stuff broke up inside of that grinder really nice, even though...
Yeah, like I said, sometimes I find the grinder, it's too fine. Like, it chops it too fine.
Well, if your weed is dry in any way, it's definitely going to go too fine. And as soon as it gets fine, it either doesn't burn, clogs up, runs, can't stand the runs. We mentioned that, like, I think every show. I didn't take out enough weed, so this is a little small doobie, but fuck, is that sticky? And it's a good thing.
Yep.
The stickiness would be the trichomes on the leaves that are breaking open on all their oils. Okay, got a lighter? Yeah, we do. Here we go. Fire in a hole. Apparently that's turned into a thing that, yeah, I say. I didn't realize I said that all the time.
Peace and love.
Yeah, right. It's not as harsh as I was expecting, which is awesome. I can't stand harsh weed. So, as I said before, I hate coughing. This stuff here is only going for about, and I don't know where these prices are necessarily, if it's Canada or whatever, but that Mike Tyson shit was like, it was $150 for a quarter ounce. That's crazy. This is $60 for a quarter ounce at this place. 95 for a half ounce, 160 for a full ounce.
It tastes very nice.
Yeah, that's got some good taste to it. Would you say fruity?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm kind of bad when it comes to describing the taste.
Yeah, me too. Might not have taken on the best task for the two of us.
Yeah.
Doing reviews of weed. If I don't have the words for it.
It got me high.
Yeah. Burning good.
Yeah, it burns very good.
Again, with the wet stuff. It's not wet, but moist. A lot of people hate the word moist. Can't help it, whatever. I'll say the flavor. What flavor are you smoking this week or something like that? Fuck, some people, they get so annoyed with me saying flavor. It's a flavor. Get over it.
What do they want you to say?
Strain.
Strain, okay.
Yeah. Fuck that shit. What flavor of pizza are you having tonight? What strain of pizza you have? Fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the flavor. I'm not necessarily talking about the weed. You're saying you got some blueberry, hey?
I do, yeah, yeah. Tastes pretty good, actually. It kind of has a little, I don't know.
Is it the true old school?
I definitely can taste some blueberry in it, definitely.
Good stuff. Yeah, I'd definitely like to get a hold of some of that, too. Like the old type of blueberry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, again, I'd buy this weed. We've been.
Yeah. I don't think we've had any bad ones yet.
And that was exactly what I was just going to say. It's not that we're stupid. We just go, oh, this is a good weed. Oh, this is a good weed. Yeah. If it was shitty weed, I would totally tell you.
Yeah.
Well, I did. We kind of did. We were honest. I forget what the strain was. And then we came back the next week and I was saying, yeah, it burnt like shit.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was either. Episode 3, I think.
Nice and moist. I really like that. Humidity is good and it contains in the jar and the weed stays the same. And that's what happens is you got a bag and you open it up and it dries out a little bit and then you fucking close it and then you open it up to smoke another doobie. And by the time you're down to the last half of it, it's all dried out. And that's why you hate your grinder, just grind it into powder and nightmare.
Had you went to a concert yet in 84?
In 84. Oh, yeah, because I'd already seen Street Heart by then.
That's right, yeah. I have not. My first one wasn't until 86.
And who was your first concert?
Crocus and Judas Priest in Toronto.
Oh, right. You told me that. My first concert, Jesus.
But I do remember everybody coming back the next day after concerts that I couldn't go to. Like, for one, for example, was Twisted Sister and Iron Maiden. Everybody had the t-shirts the next day. It was just like, fuck.
Yeah. And how come you didn't go? Couldn't afford it? Or your folks
It was about an hour away to Regina. Probably couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. Plus, I was only like 13, 14. Probably parents didn't want me to go.
Yeah, I had one of those where up in Fort McMurray where there was this big show and everybody went to that one and I didn't go. Reason was just couldn't afford it really. Didn't want to ask my folks. And then we went for Chinese food later that night. Concert. Oh, how come you're not hanging out with your buddy? Oh, everybody's at the show. Oh, I would have let you go.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm sitting here having Chinese food with
my friends. I think everybody used to like get a bus from Weyburn and like a whole bunch of people would get a school bus or whatever, rent it and like drive up there. 20 people on the bus or whatever.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. And then everybody can, well, I guess you're pretty young. I was going to say everybody can get shit faced.
Well, they probably were.
They probably were anyways, for sure. Especially Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Saskatchewan, outside of the city, the country areas.
We used to get pulled over by the cops with like two open cases of 12 beers, say. And the cop would like take some and fill up our 112 pack and just go home and drink it. And we're like 15. You know, at the time, driving and drinking. And
Jesus
just
Christ.
Go home and drink it, guys. Just don't drive and drink it.
You know, I talk about Saskatchewan being like Texas, but I do have to say, I had one of the weirdest experiences there once. Buddy picked me up driving around. He had just gotten off work, and he was one of these guys. He would drink and, you know, have a six-pack while he's driving and shit like that. And you got to realize, this is back in like 88 or something, 85 or whatever.
Well, it was still horrible, but it was more common.
Yeah, exactly. So we get pulled over. Right in the middle of the three quarters smoking a doobie. I'm the passenger. And I got a beer. He's got a beer. We put the joint out to be pulled over. And the cops fucking poked their head in there. I remember this. It was a girl cop on my side to get out. And she sees my beer and she goes, pour that out. So she makes me pour it out. And she goes, open this one and pour that out too. So I do that. And she, I think I had three or four beers we still had to pour out. And I did all that. And she goes, I have no evidence. Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah. She doesn't want to do paperwork.
Maybe that was it. I don't know. But the guy I was with, he was like, holy fuck, that never happens to me. I can't say that it always happens to me, but he just said never had it. I had a situation with you, actually, with the, oh, that never happens to me. It was when me and my wife went to this Gwen Stefani concert. And on the way in, we were headed to our seats. And on the way in, we got on this elevator to get up to our platform. And somebody else comes on and they go, oh, where are your seats? And I thought it was some security or somebody's going to usher us or whatever. So we show her and she goes, well, I just want to like to upgrade your tickets. And they took us to like four pay or whatever. And I says, so I was telling you this story and I go, you know, it's cool when stuff like that. And that never happens.
Yeah.
Fucking cracked me up on that. That never happens to me. So Saskatchewan, were you driving by then?
No, I was only 14.
But you only had to be 14 in Alberta. Oh, you're Saskatchewan, right?
Yeah.
At the time, you only had to be 14 in Alberta. You could write your learners and get your license and shit. Yeah, yeah. So, but anyways, I made a mistake there. Saskatchewan, I was just hitting Saskatoon. Lots of red hair as far as weed goes. Lots of mushrooms.
Lots of hash where I was.
Still, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, you were there. Lots of hash. So when you had to get hash, did you happen to know a guy or was it like a quest every time?
No, we knew a guy.
And he always definitely. Had hash?
Always. Yeah.
Loved his hash, did he?
I could probably still take it to his house this day if I
He's probably got some fucking hash. Craziness. It was a different time back then trying to get some weed. There was shitty fucking, like I said, red hair had seeds and stems and totally different from what's going on in the world today. I like it. I like the change.
Yeah, definitely.
I love being able to go to a park, you know, because here in Canada, you can smoke a doobie anywhere you're legally allowed to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
Some people don't you know, stick it in people's face. You know, you don't really see people outside, outside of Walmart smoking a joint. But if he was, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. And so I still feel like I have to put it, you know what I mean? Someone comes, you still feel like you have to tuck it a bit.
I'm getting a little better at that, actually. I'm not caring. Again, you got to realize where I work, right?
Yeah.
So, like I said, our staff party was on the beach at first and then over at this person's house. But, like, sitting on the beach and shit, that's where I smoked that fucking thing. It was totally in public.
Yeah.
That huge foot and a half doobie or whatever it was. And then I was still roller skating at that time. Roller skating was a huge thing in my world, man. We could bust away Friday night and Saturday night. We'd roller skate. They would start at 6 and it would end at 12. And I'd go there, and within those 6 hours, I'd smoke like an entire pack of cigarettes.
I can't say I remember there being a roller skate place in Weyburn. This is where I live. There must have been, but...
What's the biggest city to Weyburn?
Oh, God. Regina, I guess.
And that was an hour away?
Yep.
Yeah, I could see a roller skating not necessarily being a big thing. I was more like in the Niagara Falls, and we go down to Buffalo, New York and shit.
Colin James was from the neighboring town.
And what town was that?
Yellowgrass.
Get out of here. I didn't know that. I actually don't hate Colin James.
He's not bad.
He put out an album. It was later. It must have been, I want to say 2000, because I was in
I can't
in
say I've ever heard a Colin James song that I didn't. Yeah, I like them all. Yeah, there's nothing I hate for sure.
Well, he put out one album. It was a little bit more bluesy.
Yeah.
I swear it was 2001, I think. It was down in Niagara Falls. And I'd go over to, actually, I was going to computer school, and right, like, this is like half a block away from the falls, and it's this little shitty church, and you'd go in there and do your school lessons. I just thought, how much is that real estate worth?
Yeah.
And look what you have on here. It was just this shitty little house church. It must have been worth millions. So anyways, you go in there, and there was a guy that at lunchtime we'd go over to his place and shoot some pool. He'd always drink beer. I never understand these people. As soon as they get home, they got to drink six fucking beers. Like, but he introduced me to the Colin James blues album.
You see what I'm showing you?
No.
We're forgetting. The Hip, 84, formed.
Oh, that's true. I did. I looked this up.
Since you were forgetting to talk about them last time.
Jesus Christ, what is with me?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like one of those things where you see they have a song contest of all time, and they take Stairway to Heaven out of it because it's going to win. It always wins. I wouldn't vote for it, but it always wins. So they take it out. It's like in that movie. It says, don't play Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I think it was Bill and Ted or something. Something stupid.
Yeah, the first MTV Awards in 84, which changed a lot of things, I'm sure. I don't know who won any of them, but...
I have a little list, actually. Oh, you know who it surprisingly won? Was not Michael Jackson.
No?
No. What was it? The 84, it was Peter Gabriel, I think, won. I think Peter Gabriel won that year for the Music Award.
And that was for?
Blah, 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 blah.
Not the one we talked about before. Was it
Sledgehammer?
Was it Sledgehammer? Okay.
No, that can't be right.
Yeah, that seems like a little late for that. Like, I thought that would be...
Oh, Rocket.
Okay.
Herbie Hancock.
Yeah, yeah.
He won for the Video of the Year, first year for Music TV Awards. That's what it was. And Michael Jackson had a lot of awards. Michael Jackson, Madonna came out that year. Ghostbusters, Ray Parker Jr. That was a huge song, came out that year.
Yeah, we're just talking about that Ghostbusters.
Oh, that's funny too.
Where they had they had filmed one with John Belushi before he had died. And then they had to rewrite everything.
And I hadn't heard any of that. And who else was in it, you said?
John Candy, Eddie Murphy. And then they were all busy doing their own thing by the time they rewrote it.
I wonder if there would be some way to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
I would just love that. Because you said it was totally recorded and shit. That's got to come out sometime underground.
Yeah, if they had it done or not, I don't know. But
another one. Stevie Wonder. He had that. I Just Called to Say I Love You.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote that for his daughter. He wrote a lot of songs for his daughter. I like quite a bit of his shit. I like that funky music. I don't know how much of that you listen to.
Yeah, he's okay. I always laugh at there's a thing I've seen on Facebook with the guy at the Stevie Wonder concert with the sign saying, I love you, Stevie.
No.
No. Well, he's blind, right? So.
I'm so stupid or stoned. I didn't even get that. That's funny, man. Okay, well, we're going to say that Peyton Pie works. Because I totally gapped out on that one. What was that one I heard one time? Oh, what's Stevie Wonder's favorite color? Corduroy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's bad taste, I know, but hey, whatever. If it's funny, it's not offensive. And on that note, I guess we'll end it. Ran a minute over, actually. Have a good week, and we'll see you next time.
See you later. Cheers.
One last thing, real quick. I'm going to play a song at the end here from a band. Are they local?
Yeah, they're local from Mission.
Mission?
From our friend Oak. She plays drums.
Yeah, Random Dander. song called Willis.
Check it out.
Enjoy.
Hope you like this song because you're hearing it again. Let's do this, Willis.
Play it loud!
When you went so hard to